Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. During the past week, I was thinking to myself, like, what should I talk about? Like, we hear a lot of good sermons from the adults, like the good sermons for the children. But I was thinking to myself, like, what I should talk about. And recently, when I was doing a small study of myself, one of the things that came out to me was freedom. We hear freedom like all the time. Like this is why we're free from doing whatever we want to. But what does it mean to be freedom in Christ? So I want to start with a verse from Galatians 5, verse 13. So in the translation that I have is that, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use that freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use it, your freedom, to serve one another in love." So in the book of Galatians, Paul is talking about different kinds of things from 1 to 6, 6, and it's like, it talks about law, faith, promise, works of flesh, fruits of the Spirit, and the law of Christ. But one of the things he talks majorly on chapter 5, is about freedom in Christ. So when we think about the definition of freedom, it says ability to make your own decisions, choosing your own path in life, doing what you want to, power or right to act, speak, or think without any hindrance or restraint. That's basically the basic definition of what freedom was. As we live in Canada, you might, like, if you usually go outside of your area, like you go to downtown, you always see different things that you're, like, it's like a culture shock towards us. Why? Because it's a freedom-based country. There's a lot of freedom in it. So when we think, like, oh, we can do whatever we want, in God's perspective, we can't do that. We don't have that. We have a boundary in freedom for us Christians. If we look back in the Old Testament, Pastor kind of said this a few weeks ago about the punishment towards the sinful people. Back in the Old Testament, we see that whoever was sinned, they were punished to death. But when we look back in the New Testament, the sin was not punishment by death. It was given of a second chance. Either you had been disciplined or you were being forgiven. Why that change? Because Jesus is that change. He made that change to make... He was the one who did miracles. He did teachings of parables. And he took up the cross because of our enslavement towards the sin. So when we think about the types of freedom, two of the types of freedom that I had was real choice. Like, we can make certain choices. Like, we talked about the SMART goal, specific, measurement, attainable, realistic, and timable. Those are choices, like, we make good choices. Sometimes we make the changes or improvement. The other one, responsibility. Like, we take up the own responsibility of the choice that we make, and we don't blame others for the things. God, in God's ways, he doesn't force us. Like, he tells you, this is what I want from you, but he won't say, you have to do it. God will choose whether you, this is what I'm going to give you. You either follow this my way, or you follow the highway. So if you make that decision, the right decision, God will start to work in us. And he will pour his love towards us. Freedom, when we think about freedom from sin, it doesn't come from disobedience. It also comes when that is not pleasing towards God. Anything, like in chapter 5, we talk about the works of flesh, all the things, lust of flesh, lust of money, sinful natures, all these that are not pleasing towards God, and that will lose the freedom. We will be enslaved to sin, and we don't have that freedom. So, and Paul also says in Galatians, in the first verse, it says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't be tied again with the slavery of law." One of the Bible characters that we know is the King Saul, the first king of the Israel. He was chosen by God. He was nothing special. He didn't have like IQ of 200, nothing like that. He was just a normal human. And God chose Samuel, and Samuel had anointed Saul to become the first king of Israel and to lead the nation. But because of And Samuel had told him to do one specific task, was to destroy all of Amalekites. All the people, all the goods, all the stuff that belongs to Amalekites needs to be destroyed. It's a simple task, just destroy everything. But Saul, he had a good intention. When we think about, when we remove the word God and we think about King Saul, he had a good intention that he wanted to take these animals and sacrifice. He had a good intention. But God said one thing, just destroy everything that he did. But because of that disobedience, God left him and he lost that freedom towards God. So as a Christian, we also have challenges like peer pressure, social influence, and all this distraction. Like sometimes we, like for example, like if we get the new iPhone AirPod that has no wires, and you see somebody having that, you have in your head say, "Oh, I want to buy it." And the next day, you'll go on Amazon and eBay saying, "How much is it?" When you see that $100 or $200 in that, you will think to yourself, "Man, should I buy that or should I not buy it?" You might have in your heart, okay, I'm going to buy that, so I'll get a loan and I'll buy that. So we have this influence. So probably like something like you see like someone wearing something like ripped jeans, like you can see their knees, or anything that ripped shirt, you can see. I'm not going anywhere there. So these are all the freedom that was given, but in our head we think, oh, he's wearing that, why can't we not do that? Or he's doing something that he wants to do, why can't he do that? And I had a similar situation like that. So most of who are going to college and university, the first thing when you're choosing courses is you look at the teacher and you search, oh, who is this Mr. I don't know, Mr. I don't know, whatever his long name is. And you search, oh, is he a good teacher? But I never thought about it. So I chose what I had in my schedule and that schedule, and I chose it. And I had the one of the worst teachers I could ever find. It was horrible, isn't that? I had to go through a lot of situations. Like, the teacher had a bad reputation. Like, he would accuse people that student is threatening the teacher. And I was a victim to that. Like, I was torn down because it was during my placement and the prof was my advisor. So I didn't know what to do because I was like in shame. And, like, I didn't know. So I prayed to God and I was going through all the teachers. I went through the leader of the program, I spoke about it. They said, you have to talk to the advisor. I went to the advisor. They said, you have to go to the supervisor. And you can't usually have a talk with the supervisor because you don't usually get to talk to him, the person. So one time, we were going on a birthday gift of a friend of mine. So we went to the bar. Don't worry, I did not drink anything from there. I drank water. So we were there, and the supervisor was there right in front, right next to us, and we didn't know what to do. I mean, like, he's drinking over there, and like, we didn't even want to bother him, but we just went anyways. And we told about the situation, and he told that there's a lot of complaints about this prof, but we couldn't do anything because she was a unionized teacher, and you can't fire them because of this situation. But over the course, the complaints got even greater, and afterwards she left the position. So one of the songs that I came to my head was In the Eye of the Storm, and this it came like this: In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when the sails are torn. Your love will surround me in the eye of the storm. That was a song that came into my head. Like, your love will surround me in the eye of the storm. No matter how much storm, like, yesterday we were talking about Moses coming, like, I mean, sorry, not Moses, Job, was talking, Job and God had this conversation. He came in, so he came in a whirlwind. That is how the conversation had it with Job. And so in order to get that freedom, to have that conversation, we need to take up the Bible. The Bible is the key source to getting that freedom. Just take any verse, if it's John 3:16 or in the beginning God created heaven, any verse, and just meditating on it, saying, why did, like, for example, if we sing in Genesis 1 verse 4, God created heavens and the earth. And then, like, here you kind of think, why did God create it? So does he take up the ownership of the earth, the heavens? Like, what's the whole purpose of that? So we meditate and pray to God and have that forgiveness to God, saying, God, I forgive. Please forgive the sins that I've done. And using that, ask God for forgiveness. And the last part of the reading I want to do before I sit down is from Galatians 5, 22 to 26. I'll read them, and it goes like this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong in Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful natures to this cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous to one another.